Now, good morning to you. If I was a Sinn Féin activist from up the country and I was being asked by a member of the public about the future and the countdown to a referendum on a border poll and all of that, I might be, you know, facing some difficult questions, but I'd be okay because I've got the Activist's Guide. The Activist's Guide was released at the Think Inn down in Cavan, and apparently all the questions are there, and more importantly, all the answers are there. Now, this wasn't released to the media, but it was released generally to activists. So it's no surprise that within about 10 minutes, it was in the hands of the media. Malachy O'Doherty's available to speak to us. Good morning, Malachy.
Morning, Frank. How are you doing?
I'm very well, Malachy. Obviously, you know, this is described by some papers as a secret guide, but it's hardly a secret guide if they give it out to a lot of people. They must have known that we'd be discussing it.
I would expect so. I mean, I do think that there is so much coherence within Sinn Féin that activists tend to say the same things over and over again, that the strategy of briefing people on a party line is very thorough throughout the party. So it may be that that people are getting a bit more blasé about how they do this, or they didn't think this was a particularly insensitive one to release. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It was going to be no time before it hit the media. But if you engage with Sinn Féin or if you annoy them on Twitter and you see the kind of arguments that you come back at, you can see that they are rehearsed arguments, that they have stock phrases and stock attitudes. So I'm not surprised by it. I'm quite intrigued by this one. I mean, I think that it is not the guidance is not advice on how you convert somebody in the DUP to United Ireland. It's advice on what you say to your neighbour within the nationalist community, you know, who's a bit iffy on it, you know, who might be halfway there to accepting the idea of United Ireland, but is worried about things like the National Health Service, is worried about, you know, the practicalities of it all and how the burden of the economy, and is worried also perhaps about the Protestant and Unionist neighbours being utterly excluded. So those are the kind of questions that are answered. And that intrigues me because this is essentially an address to the soft centre of Northern Ireland politics, the moderate nationalists and the soft unionists. And if you remember back a year to Theresa May being quoted in a conversation that she had with Jacob Rees-Mogg about how Brexit might unsettle things, it was precisely that faction of society, that section, the moderate nationalists, that she was worried about. These are the ones who might change their minds. These are the ones that Sinn Féin is tactically astute in going for. You know, there's no point in marshalling your arguments to convert Arlene Foster to United Ireland. You're not going to succeed whatever you say. And there's no need to marshal your argument to convert you know, the Sinn Féin electorate in places like West Belfast and Foyle. The people you need to reach are people who are FDLP voters, Catholics who vote for Alliance, the kind of people, you know, who keep Northern Ireland ticking over, who are not all that fussed about a United Ireland, have worries about it, but do have an inclination in that direction.
Yeah, that's why I was saying if I was a Sinn Féin activist and I was up the country, that's exactly how I see it. It's almost the fella at the Gaelic match on a Sunday afternoon and he's having a yarn and the other fellow beside him has no interest at all in whether he is a United Ireland or not. He just enjoys the match. And there's a boy from Sinn Féin standing beside him who's also enjoying the match, and the talk gets round to a referendum. And, you know, one of them will ask very obvious questions, and the Sinn Féin boy will sort of glance at his guide that he's now been given and he'll be saying, oh, jibbers, boy.
He'll know how to deal with it.
Yeah,
you know?
Like the taxes won't go up and you'll still have the NHS and them loyalist paramilitaries, they'll not rise up. Those are three worries people have.
Sorry, I missed the end of your question.
Those are three worries that people generally
have. Those are the worries that people have. those are the worries that people have. My, you know, people worry about the National Health Service, you know, because, and yet the National Health Service has gone down the drain, you know. But, I mean, still in all, people feel that there's a much better health service available to them in Northern Ireland. You had Reg MP, Lord MP in the House of Lords just yesterday saying we need an emergency intervention by the government to save the health service in Northern Ireland, to avert a humanitarian crisis, was the language he used. And yet in all, you know, I suppose we do believe, and I'm sure I do believe myself, that the health service here is better than the one in the south. These are the things people are worried about. Are we going to end up with having to pay for all our health treatment in the south? Are we going to trigger a civil war in the north by alienating the unionists? And can the south afford us? And the South has already said many times, of course, that they can't afford us. And so you have to whittle away at this idea that Britain pays a subvention of £10 billion a year into Northern Ireland and say, oh, it's not really £10 billion. It's, you know, think about this, you know, that'll go and that'll go and that'll go. But, you know, I'm assuming that if we go into United Ireland, the British government will go on paying my pension as long as I live, you know, because it was to them that I paid my national insurance contributions, not to the Irish. But yes, you know, I think the important thing we're both highlighting here is this isn't, a political party isn't an educational institution. It's not about sitting down and debating this, to arrive at the truth. It's about imparting a message. It's propaganda, essentially. It's propaganda in action. You get your people online, on message, fill them with arguments, regardless of whether those arguments stand up very well in the full heat of intelligent debate, so long as they are good enough for the guy beside you in the stand at the Gaelic match.
And do you think,
or in the pub.
Yeah, and do you think a united Ireland is more important to Sinn Féin than whether the taxes go up or not, or whether you have the British National Health Service or not, or whether loyalist paramilitaries do rise up or not? Is the winning that vote the most important thing for Sinn Féin?
I assume that even within Sinn Féin, there's division of opinion in that, there's division of attitude. Certainly the Sinn Féiners who came through the IRA campaign and came through the prison system, came through Loncash and the protests there, they discussed in very great detail what they wanted, you know, and they wanted a united Ireland, and then they wanted to move on beyond that to a socialist Ireland. So even for them, you know, the united Ireland is still a stepping stone towards a socialist country. I think there are a lot of perhaps very pragmatic, sensible young people in Sinn Féin who didn't come through the troubles and who ultimately faced with a choice will weigh things in the balance. There will be people in Sinn Féin who might even vote no in a border poll if they find that when they look at the thing closely, it's not the right time for it, or we can't afford it, you know. As there are people outside of Sinn Féin who will vote yes in a border poll because of Brexit and other considerations. I would imagine there's a broad sweep of opinion, but we tend to see Sinn Féin as a more coherent, more propagandistically managed party that's on message all the time, you know. Certainly in the public forums, they're on message. But, you know, you talk to people in sidelines and you take it beyond the upfront argument and probe them a bit, and you find, I mean, they're ordinary human beings like the rest of us, you know, they've a diversity of opinions on the real world. But within a political party, they've a job to do, and that job is to get the message out there, and they'll do it, you know.
They are incredibly well organised, there's no question about that. You could argue
absolutely,
they're the best organised party on the island of Ireland. I'm just simply saying this on the back
of what I see.
Here's a very, very small example. Last week, Alicia McCallion was on this programme talking about a rail link between Derry and Dublin. That's the only reason she was on the programme. We have many politicians who appear on this programme, and of course there'll be some sort of a post on Twitter to say that they're coming on. The Sinn Féin style now of doing that is to use a graphic that looks like a billboard. So you have the person who represents Sinn Féin, in this case Alicia McCallion, you have her photograph on a billboard and alongside it appearing on and the name of the programme that she's going to be appearing on, which phone in it is, which radio programme, which television programme. Like, they are streets ahead when it comes to self-publicity and to selling their product. And that's why I go back to the question, the secret guide as it's described. I don't think for a moment that Sinn Féin were caught with their trousers down giving out a secret guide that we're now discussing.
Yeah. And the other side of it is that if you have a big political party that has the prospect of being in government in a republic and in an executive in the north and all these seats and councils, then you can offer young people a career path. So the bright young things who can manage your social media for you and who have these ideas, they will be attracted into a party like that because they can see that there's a ladder from the bottom to the top. You can go in there as a volunteer canvasser and helping out with social media or something. And, in time you might be a councillor, an MLA, a TD. You might be First Minister. You might be Taoiseach. You might be President. that path is open to you in a way that it is not open to you in other political parties. The SDLP, for instance, is a depleted party that is now talking about merging with Fianna Fáil, because essentially there's a party structure there with money that can help them out and create that. But, if you were an ambitious student, interested in politics, nationalistically inclined, would you join Sinn Féin or would you join the SDLP? The SDLP is not going to get you, it might, but it's less likely to get you a Westminster salary. It's less likely to get you a ministerial post in the Northern Ireland executive. It's less likely to get you, a TD seat or a shot at the big jobs in the south. So that's the way of it. It's interesting when you look at the DUP and say, why are they not just as slick as Sinn Féin is? They're a big party too. They've got money and resources. They've got brain boxes, who can come up with ideas. And yet you look how long it took them. They came out with a good line last week, for attacking Sinn Féin. End your boycott of Stormont. That's clever. That shoves the blame back onto Sinn Féin. It says, we'll be there in the morning if you turn up, and so on. That's a good line. That's a good spin on the thing from their point of view. But it took them like a year and a half to come up with it. And even then, when they did it, they stand in front of Stormont with a banner with the word Sinn Féin on it in green type, even with the fada in the right place. So anybody casually walking past would think that was a Sinn Féin banner, So, there's very little nous within the DUP and how you manage spin and how you deliver messages and how you manage your propaganda in that effective way.
On the subject of spin, when you are leaning over your gate and your local Sinn Féin activist comes indeed with his activist guide in his back pocket, how do you challenge him or her?
Well, from what perspective would you challenge them? I think we're all susceptible to somebody who's genial and well informed. I think if you want to take them on, then you have to be as smart as they are, and you have to get your argument sorted. If it was some young activist chatting to me in a pub or on the street or so on, with that set of arguments for a United Ireland, I would say, well, come on, you're saying the economy will grow fast enough to absorb Northern Ireland and we'll not have to worry about it. Show me the figures, how does that square with, what's your position in corporation tax? What's your position in welfare? Are you going to be landed with paying the pensions of Northern citizens absorbed into United Ireland, or are you not? I would want to know more, but I think essentially, they have pitched it well at the level of the ordinary conversation. They haven't pitched it so strongly at the level of a strong public debate, and maybe they're doing that. There are people who have come out in recent weeks with research that shows how United Ireland might stack up and how it might work. I think just, you know, if I was in the SDLP, I would feel slightly wrong-footed here because, you know, the SDLP wants a united Ireland, but wants to overtake and defeat Sinn Féin, you know, and its options for movement are pretty pretty limited now. You know, I think, I suppose the SDLP argument I would make would be very similar, I suppose, to an argument that actually Peter Robinson made recently, that there's no point in dumping us into United Ireland as blithely as we were dumped into Brexit. You know, you would need to think these things through in advance. You need to have a plan. You need to know how the thing's going to work, or have some notion of how it's going to work, and not just keep your fingers crossed and trust in Mary Lou.
One final question just about being on message, because you've mentioned this a few times with regards to Sinn Féin. That's the very reason we're talking to you this morning, this secret guide that people are reporting about falling into the hands of the media. And of course, we're questioning that indeed, because Sinn Féin probably knew within minutes it would be in the hands of the media. This on message.
You know, somewhere, Frank, there's some slick investigative journalist who got that and doesn't like you just sneering at his amazing efforts. You know?
Well, okay. Well done, journalist. But if Sinn Féin are totally on message, is part of it telling the activists, especially the ones who have a bit of a face, the ones who you might see in the street, that you must always be friendly? There's something incredibly warm. And, you know, I know there'll be people shouting at the radio now, oh, Sinn Féin, and going back through the history of Sinn Féin. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about meeting a Sinn Féin representative in the street. They know how to address you. Yeah. They are friendly. They greet you with a smile. Is that tutored? Is that part of the message?
Yeah. I'm sure it is. I mean, I was invited to speak at the West Belfast Festival last month up the Falls Road, and I was on a panel. And I gave a rant against the IRA. I just really attacked them. I really said this was a disgraceful thing that we were carrying on this legacy of celebrating the IRA campaign as if it was a good thing. And there were people in the audience heckling me, you know, for giving out about the IRA. And yet, afterwards, there was Jim Gibney and Danny Morrison and others all welcoming me back into the green room, and glass of wine, sausage roll, you know, lovely to see you, how you doing, you know. You know, they must have been, you know, I suppose they knew what I was going to say anyway, but I mean, how many other political parties would allow? I mean, and Sinn Féin weren't always good at allowing. I mean, I would have criticised them in the past for not having incorporated opposition. But you know, that's pretty impressive that you can go into West Belfast and harangue them and tell them how much contempt you have for what the IRA did and the grief they brought to this society, and the very people who were deeply involved in that are smiling at you and offering you a drink and thanking you for coming.
But there's another element. You're dealing there with big names who have a Republican tradition. And you were challenging them. I'm talking about ordinary Joes and Josephines who are out in the street, who are going about their shopping, and they come across a Sinn Féin representative, or they come across a DUP representative, or an Alliance, or an Ulster Unionist. The chances are the biggest smile, the warmest welcome, the how are you and how's the form and how's the family and all that sort of crack will come from a Sinn Féin member, as opposed to, you know, some Unionists can be really polite, but they're almost standoffish. There's the SDLP representatives can be incredibly standoffish. So I'm just wondering, is it tutored into the representatives, the activists, the people with the secret document?
Well, I mean, that's your impression. I'm not entirely sure, you know, because I'm not bumping into many Sinn Féin activists on the Armour Road, and maybe I'm not in a good position as well, because, you know, the political parties Maria Cahill explained to me this to me once, because she had been a canvasser for Sinn Féin. He said, when you went out canvassing for Sinn Féin, you've got your list of people who are on side. They all say, yes, don't worry, our vote's in the bag. You never go back to those people. There's no point in going back to them. No need to, because they're going to vote for you. That's taken care of. And then there's other people who scowl at you and say, there's no way I'm voting for Sinn Féin, and I would never forgive them for what the IRA did. And then you just ignore them as well, because they've been... And then you're in the middle of these people who say, I know, you're right about this and you're right about that, but I'm really, you know, that guy Gerry Kelly gets on my nose, and I wish to goodness you'd get back into Stormont and sort this out, you know. And there's an Irish Language Act all that important, but still and all, I see your point about this and that. They're the people you go back to. They're the people that you might get over the line, you know. The others on either side of that, you know, the ones who are already in the bag and the ones who'll never be in the bag. You don't waste your effort on them. That was how the strategy of the party was explained to me. You know?
Would you?
But on the other side of that, Frank, and I mean, you must be aware that who is the trolls on Twitter? I mean, for all that, there's people trained to be very nice and civil and to work to impress you with their geniality and their political nous. Perhaps the same people, I don't know, but there's an awful lot of people operating behind pseudonyms on Twitter, and they're practically stalking critical journalists and abusing them and haranguing them, you know, and I suspect that's as organised and as thought through.
Totally. I've been on the receiving end of that. I know what that is like. You've been on the receiving end of it as well, and so have I. But we're just analysing it openly, and that's what we do. One final question to you, Malachy. Would you like to be a spin doctor? Would you like to work for a party where you could create an image?
I wouldn't be good at, you see, I wouldn't be good at being in a political party, because I would, you know, I would be good at it for a time. I have the skills. Why would I put myself down? I would be better at it than a lot of people. And I mean, I remember once I was in a public debate with, I think, Mark Durkin, and people were coming up to me afterwards and saying, Malachy, we'd be better off with you. And I had no criticism to Mark, far more intelligent political operator, but not as good a public speaker, you know. And I could play the political game quite well up to your point, and then I would disagree with people, and I would be the outsider. I'm too opinionated.
So you're not allowed to fall out with people. This is in the guide. This is the activist guide. Do not fall out with people. Malachy, thank you.
I would fall out with people.
Malachy O'Doherty, former.
Yeah, I'd fall out with you, my
friend. I'm going to quit before we do fall out. thank you. Malachy O'Doherty, future spin doctor for whichever political party you'd like to hire him. This is the Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105.